Super Bowl is next Sunday, so we here at Region Nerd Alert thought we'd shine some light on an already popular athletic event, esports. Competitive video games have been increasing in popularity with cash prize pools that would blow your mind. Here's a hint, it can reach to the tens of millions. We talk turkey and share those games that turn friends into enemies on this week's Region Nerd Alert.
And hello everybody.
Hello there.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
It's going okay.
Well, I'm Jose, and to the listeners out there, you're listening to Region Nerd Alert on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And if you missed this episode on Saturdays at 7 p.m., we're also streaming online on Spotify and iTunes and probably other things too.
Hey, what's that app?
The NPR One app, of course.
Letter N, letter P, letter R. Number one.
App.
Look it up. iOS, Android, probably. Anyways, probably. Hello, everyone. As you heard from the intro, we're talking about esports. We may be also dabbling into some speedrunning events. We're talking about video games and video games that we all play and we all know and love, but not necessarily for the story, not necessarily for the grind, and not necessarily for leveling up.
Sometimes it's for the
heap. It's competitive gaming. Like, if you ever just sat there with three draw fours and then, oh, discard your entire hand. Wait, I'm getting two games mixed up.
Yeah, you absolutely are.
Yeah, I'm going to counter that reverse.
If you've ever had a love-hate relationship, you'll understand everything that we're talking about then.
Yep, all your friends, they either love you or hate you, but competitive video gaming. We're talking about online gaming. We can talk about fighting games, you know, Street Fighter, Soul Calibur, and Smash Brothers, and League of Legends, CSGO, Call of Duty, Halo. The list goes on for competitive gaming, and this episode is about it.
This is a subject I have, like, the most surface-level knowledge of.
Well, that's great, so. Because I'm not, like, super in-depth with these worlds. I've played these games, but I'm not in-depth. But before we go further, and without any further ado, to my left is Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike, a.k.a. Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Follow my photography at Singularity Photography. Please go support me.
It freaked me out. I've never seen it like that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's weird. As if you guys have been listening to all of our episodes, like, we describe a little bit of the radio station and stuff, and there's a burn hole on one side.
The haunted burn hole.
There's wires hanging out. I could see a ventilation thing. And now there's a bar that's usually, like,
In the yellow.
It's
maxed
going,
out.
Maxed out blood red.
I've never seen it maxed out. It's unfaltering maxed out. I have no idea
what that means.
Something's going wrong.
I have no idea what that bar
People
did.
Are just going to hear bass boosted talking on the radio.
I hope I'm
now.
Not doing that.
But. I was going to say, that's the Grudge ghost. The ambient sound of the Grudge ghost clip.
Oh, yeah, that's our ghost defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
To bring him back to life?
Anyways.
You would be clipping this hard, but you're really only clipping this hard.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. But anyways, Mr. Mike's left, we have.
Oh, sorry, it's me, Skylar, Fat Low End, Olitho on all of my medias, Instagram, Twitter, all the good stuff.
Didn't you do something for this podcast, too?
The intro.
Nice.
The intro that you heard. Humiliate, I believe, is the track. And
yep, Humiliate.
I don't think you can hear it on SoundCloud just yet.
It's not on SoundCloud.
Just here. Rewind the intro a bunch of times if you want to hear this word.
Yeah.
But anyways, Olitho. And to his left, Mr. Paul Polgar Zelski, a.k.a. the dude with the mic today, a.k.a. he has notes, a.k.a. that dude you don't want to mess with, the boss.
Probably the only time I'll ever actually have notes with me.
No, like, you, for this episode, Paul, you are the leader of legends.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah, Paul is,
I was going to say, don't put me in charge. I'm not sitting behind the...
Oh, no.
I was going to say, Paul's like the opposite of me. Like, he's like, his knowledge of this goes so deep.
At least for League of Legends, like, and... Paul, let me ask you. Would you like us to start with League, or do you want us to, like, gently go into it?
Let's start with the other things, because I don't want to take up the spotlight. I know that you guys love talking, too, and you have games that you like to play.
You want that prime time section right before the sign-off when everyone's listening their hardest.
Usually 54 minutes long. It's about to end in 10 minutes. I'm listening intently now.
All right, let's get this started. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, esports and stuff.
So you want to do esports, or do you want to talk about the charitable GDQ events maybe first, just to get that out of the way?
Let's do that one. That one.
Okay. So as you heard, the second part of this is also going to be speedrunning events. And a lot of you are probably scratching your head like, okay, I've heard of esports. I know about competitive gaming and wanting to kill someone for stealing all my stars from Mario Party. But but I've never heard of speedrunning. And what is this that you said in the intro? I didn't make the intro yet, but let's see what I say.
Drop a flag right there.
Let's hope it's in there.
But anyways, yeah, speedrunning events. Actually, Sky, do you want to explain basically what GDQ is, RPG Limit Break, those type of maybe how it started as well?
So a speedrunning of a game is beating the game as quickly as possible.
Like, you know, Super Mario Brothers, listeners, like, imagine flying through all the levels. We're not just talking about, oh, the fourth level, there's like that warp pipe that brings you to level 8. Like, we're talking about glitching the game. We're talking about...
There's certain categories where it's any percent, which means literally reach the credits as fast as you can. Like Morrowind, a game that normally takes hours and hours and hours to beat, can be beaten in 3 minutes.
Really?
No. You can reach the credits.
I have not seen that one yet.
You can reach the credits in 3 minutes of starting the game. And that would be like an any percent run. But GDQ is Games Done Quick, and they usually do charitable events in January and July. One in summer and one in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they both on the East Coast?
No. One is usually like in...
Isn't it like Midwest, like Minnesota,
and then the other one's usually like in Virginia. And
then RPG Limit Break, that's in Utah.
That one's in like Utah usually, yeah. And that one specifically is just speedruns of RPG games. So that one usually has less games being played overall because they usually take longer, like 4 to 5 hours to speedrun a RPG.
And if you're not sure what an RPG is... Listen to Spotify.
That last episode,
iTunes,
I think,
NPR.
Right?
Yeah, two episodes ago. Yeah, you missed the last episode. But yeah, all of our episodes, check them out. We talk about RPG. But anyways, yeah, and they're usually charitable organizations. So it's not like, oh, let me speed run. Well, actually, they do have competitions within them, but it's not necessarily.
Some of them are races and stuff. But I mean, like, outside of the charitable event, it's a cutthroat world of speedrunners, man.
Yeah.
Deep underground pools of speedrunners.
You're talking
forums and archives.
As I say, with these speedrunners, you're talking people like trying to shave off fractions of a second on Mario Kart.
World record holders, if you would.
Yeah, and that itself is super competitive, but like that's a really cool thing because every game is almost like its own community. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's trying to figure out how to beat the game quicker. So, like, everyone's in this, like, dig to figure out how to
shave all the time off the game. But at the same time, camaraderie.
Right.
If that's a word.
Right. Because certain people can figure out, like, a trick, and it's like, oh, like, I just figured out how to save 2 minutes in this one section. And it's like, okay, let me look at the VOD of you doing it. And then everyone else learns how to do the trick.
And it's cool, too, because, like, when you're speed running these games, like these older games, it's usually older games, but they also do newer ones. But when you're like beating this game in like that's supposed to take like 8 hours, 9 hours, and you're beating it in 3 minutes, like every single second counts. Like some people they'll pause it and then restart it just so you'll.
That's a big Soulsborne. Mm-hmm. Like thing
quit
is,
outs.
Yeah, they'll quit out of the game and then just restart because it's faster than going about whatever they're doing.
And to put it in perspective too, is Ocarina of Time, a game that came out on the Nintendo 64. Someone just figured out like a gigantic skip in that like a month and a half ago.
Like recent, like it's not
super recently. Yeah.
The game's been out for
20 years.
And like, oh, I never, man, that'd be awesome to like realize, oh, I'm the only one who's doing this thing.
This is like one of the few things I know about speedrunning. In Mario Kart 64, mm-hmm. There was a guy who was trying to, he was just trying to like explain how to do one skip in a lap, so he could just do like the fastest lap. And in the process of explaining how to do it, he actually beat the world record on camera without trying.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
he had the the time set up, and he goes, yeah, so you know, this is how you get to about this time, you do this and that, and he looks at the camera, he goes, do you guys just see that? And he picks up the camera, he goes, I just beat the world record. And it was the coolest thing.
Oh my god. Did they have it on YouTube? I'd like to.
Yeah, he's got it's on YouTube. I could not tell you for the life of me what it's called, but man. Yeah, it was the coolest thing, cuz he's just like, yeah, they should do, wait a minute. The realization, wait, I just beat the world record on accident.
It was like when I was playing Bloodstained and I fell underneath the tower and got behind the boss and he couldn't attack me.
And that's Glorgismorg.
That's the Twin Dragons. You just get behind him, stay out of his hitbox.
Oh, man. And usually these events are 24 hours, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Nonstop
for
speed
6
running.
Days, day and night.
Oh, really? Six? I thought it was shorter than that.
Yeah, it's a full week.
Nice.
I watched a Binding of Isaac speed run, and that was pretty impressive.
You could beat that game?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, there is an end where you see credits.
Well, they so the goal of that speed run was to beat the game 7 times in a row by going to the different bosses, because that game has like, the game has like 10 million bosses, but the final ones are the Lamb and Hush, I believe are the last two. And those are like the hardest bosses, and these guys just decimate these bosses. Like I'm a pretty casual Binding of Isaac player. I play it all the time, but I still am casual as all get out.
Right.
And these guys were doing the most ridiculous things that I've ever seen to beat this.
That's a part of speedrunning events too. Like, oh man, I remember this boss took me forever, and I powered through like 15 liters of Mountain Dew to like beat them in 3 months, and then someone beats it like by getting underneath its like tail and that's dead.
Oh yeah, dude. All souls born
naked, like with no armor or anything.
That's what infuriates me about souls born runs, because especially with like Father Gascoigne, yeah, he annihilates me every time I fight him, and then you see somebody dodge dead, and then moving on. I'm like, what?
That makes me so mad.
So you said that these are charitable events. What kind of charities do they help out? And like, how do they get the money for the charity?
I think it's usually like cancer.
The first one is cancer. The Awesome Games Done Quick is Cancer Foundation. And then Summer Games is Doctors Without Borders, usually.
Right. I forgot about that one.
And then sometimes the again, this is some of the little bit I know about it. It's usually they'll donate, and whoever's donating will donate towards like a certain goal.
They have incentives, right?
Yeah.
So like certain runs during the week like won't even actually be like on the bill, but they'll all of a sudden be like, oh, and if we raise this $60,000 incentive, we'll see someone paint the fence for Tom Sawyer, and people will donate towards that, and then they'll just add it on. And
they usually always have like some of the same stuff. Like, was it AGDQ has kill or save the animals for what game?
Oh, Super Metroid. They do that like all the time. That one's kind of overplayed.
That one, I like that one. Like, they you donate money to try to get a certain run, because there's like different ways to like run these games.
Yeah.
And by the way, Summer Games Done Quick, 2019, and this is to put in perspective, like, oh, we're talking about a charitable event. It's not like, oh, let's go to the farmer's market and raise money for...
Yeah, raise $2 million.
Last year, $3 million $3,889 was raised.
Yeah.
For speed.
They're really big now.
They're huge. Yeah. And then like a lot of people probably haven't even heard of that. Like I would love to have this year, if we can, if not go to one of these events, maybe have someone who speed runs and really like promote it. Like maybe get some people like in the region to donate and like, you know, raise awareness for this event, because there's a lot of nerds that
we could hold like a viewing party.
Yeah, hear that, speedrunners? We're asking you to help out a little bit here.
Yeah, we'll have you on the show. We'll have you speedrun on radio. And if you mess up,
speedrun on radio.
If you mess up, we won't.
That sound you heard right there was him unlocking the door to the final dungeon.
He didn't just mess up. He didn't have to restart your time.
The clock says 3:28.
Oh man!
I think my favorite speedrun is just like the Super Mario 64 speedruns, because it's like, people do those in like 5 minutes if they're doing any percent, and it's pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah, they just break these games. It's unreal how easily some of these people break like these games.
I actually you know, like how they fly up the stairs backwards. Well, apparently, like there's no speed limit to going backwards. They only have a speed limit going forward, so that's how they fly up the stairs so fast. And so I was like trying to do it on mine.
On 64? Oh, yeah. On Super Mario 64, like if you haven't played it, there's a part where it's an endless stair loop. You can't unlock it until you have a certain amount of stars, right?
Yeah. But if you go up it backwards, since there's no speed, you kind of like fly past that loop.
And then you just go to the the boss right there.
Force yourself past the border that you're not supposed to get past.
And I love how like they get game developers too to like be on GDQ and stuff. It's like, thank you for breaking the hell out of my game and stuff.
Right. And the devs will help these people, like, hey, how did you script this? Oh, like, how does this interact with the game? And the developers will tell them, like,
the lingo and stuff? Or
the lingo, or, like, whatever equation that they use, like, oh, this is how it factors into this. And then everyone just does math, and they're like, okay, this is how we can break this character.
Like, that's insane to me. Like, when I first seen Celeste being broken, like, not necessarily broke, but, like, speed ran.
Those games to see run is amazing.
The task bot.
Yeah, the task bot, that's what it's called.
And jumping on, like, single pixels of spikes. Like, oh, here's the dead zone in these spikes. You can just jump right on them. And it's like, oh my God.
Very, very much
pixel
crazy.
Perfect.
It's
but yeah, here at Region Nerd Alert, we love to definitely delve more into games done quick. So maybe we'll go to an event. Yeah, another episode.
Yeah, because after watching that Binding of Isaac speedrun, I'm like, you know what, I could certain games I could watch. I could watch a speedrun.
I think Skylar is the one who introduced it to me. And
yeah,
like,
same.
I've been watching it for like years now.
You're just watching like people just beating the crap out of a game that I started watching. I'm like,
and then you see like a video game that you play, like
Super Mario Sunshine. That's what got me into it. I'm like, I love that game.
Honestly, dude, wow. I think it was like 2015 was when I started watching the Games Done Quick thing, and that was only a couple years after it started.
And also, if you at home like want to keep up with it, just type in GDQ on Google or something like that, and it's usually streamed on Twitch. Is it exclusively on Twitch, I think?
I think it is, yeah.
Isn't there like a Microsoft one now? A Microsoft streaming service?
Oh, I have no idea.
The one that like Ninja is on?
Ninja. There's one called Caffeine, and there's something else now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's like the newest one where big streamers from Twitch are going to that one.
Dude, Offset streams on Caffeine.
Like a rapper?
Doja Cat. Yeah. Ah. That's like their thing, is they have all these like music entertainers streaming on Caffeine. Like that's how they're launching it, basically.
Bro, we need to get on Caffeine. Region Earlier, that's our next platform. We're going on
Find us on Caffeine.
But I think it's time to shift gears a little bit.
Esports.
Esports. Yeah, competitive gaming. And going from beating the crap out of a video game to beating the crap out of your friends in video games. We all probably have stories about some bad times.
We've all split-screened our favorite friend on the lockout in Halo 2.
Ah.
Hardcore deathmatch.
Man, Halo. I did not look up anything for Halo, but
we all wanted to hit our best friend.
Dude, go to YouTube, look up Halo 2 Las Vegas tournament VODs.
Bro, dude, Halo was the stuff because
GoldenEye.
Oh man, did they have tournaments like when that first came out? Like when N64 was out?
I mean,
Smash tournaments have always been a thing, but I think.
I don't know. I was looking at some stuff earlier, and it said like that competitive like games had started like back in the 1970s.
I think we can all agree that the 007 game has been a
no odd job or jobs
multiplayer thing since the dawn of time. But
yeah.
I don't know about any like esport like.
Oh yeah, that's
like,
I guess
type deal.
I guess the E wasn't created back in the. The 90s.
Yeah. 90s. It had like been the 90s, land sports.
Yeah, I was going to say 90s and 2000s is like when it was like starting to like get more traction.
I was like, if you guys are super nerds out there, you know about LAN parties. And that was a bunch of friends getting their Xboxes together and their TVs and being in the same
bunch
house.
Of Doritos.
And Mountain Dew.
Doritos and Mountain Dew. And,
those oatmeal cream pies.
And Mesquite frozen chickens. That was my personal thing.
Okay.
But anyway.
Thanks for clarifying that one.
Everyone in the studio is just like, what?
But esports, compared to like you said, the 70s and even the 90s, it has gotten huge, like humongo. Like they
unbelievably huge.
Like you hear, actually, I'm going to look up something real quick, but It's like your favorite sporting events. Like you go to football or basketball or something else. I have no idea.
Arenas.
Arenas. Like these.
Right.
Like we went to one in Chicago. I forgot where exactly.
Yeah,
it was the Chicago Theater.
The Chicago Theater filled, and it's so immaculate. Like you
just
see
a
the
gigantic screen.
People screaming for like these video games and like. I'm gonna look up some shoutcasting really quick, but
honestly, I think my favorite thing is just
we
like
we won that fight. Turn.
No, just like when nothing's happening, like in the game, like it's kind of like in a lull at the moment, and someone's just like killing a ward, and just everyone's cheering for that because there's nothing happening.
So while I look this up, Paul, if you don't mind, can you explain to the person who has never heard of a MOBA? What a MOBA is and exactly what League of Legends is, and maybe bring up Dota a little bit.
Well,
sprinkle Dota in there.
I'll start it off with this. So, me personally, I play League of Legends a lot. That was like one thing that my friends like played a lot of, and they were like, "Hey, Paul, play this." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I'll play it maybe." And I played it, and I got really into it. And now I just play it all the time.
Real into it.
He has become it.
I have become the League of Legend.
He is the Legend.
But, he is the Legendary League.
League of Legends is a MOBA, which stands for a Multiplayer Online Battle Arena. So it's usually like, for the most part, it's a 5v5. So you play with 4 other random people on your team, or you get your friends together and create a 5-man team, and you play against like another 5-man team. And League of Legends was actually inspired by Warcraft 3 mod, which was called Defense of the Ancients.
Is that?
So Defense of the Ancients is, well, it's technically Dota, which is the short term for it. And then they created a second one called Dota 2, where you're basically trying to blow up the other team's nexus. And then people that worked on Dota branched off and started working on this game called League of Legends, which was released in late October of 2009. It was actually pretty well received. I was checking out some of the like scores for it. So like from Metacritic to Eurogamer and IGN, they've given it like pretty positive reviews. Like I think Metacritic's is like a 78 out of 100, and then
which game? Dota 2?
For League of Legends.
Oh, League of Legends.
And Eurogamer and IGN, they both gave it like about a 9 out of 10, which is pretty cool. And
so the main goal of League is basically, or MOBAs in general,
to defeat the other
person. And it's 5v5, right?
Yeah, usually. They do sometimes have different game modes where it's like, oh, you'll have 6 people on your team this time, or you'll have 3, or it's just like a 1v1.
Mm-hmm. And it's very competitive because it's 5v5 and it's spread into three lanes. So you can either go top, mid, or bottom. And usually there's a different terms.
The map is a square. The map is one big square, and somebody's base is in the bottom left corner, and somebody else's base is in the top right corner. I mean, like, each team's.
Is there something else, like a board game that we can compare this to as well? Like, I'm trying to think of a better way to explain it to the layman listener. Not lame listener.
I would basically just say that the top lane and the bottom lane are just two L shapes, super just mirror images.
You know what a good way to describe this is? Think of it kind of like tug of war.
Mm.
Think it kind of like tug of war. You're constantly trying to gain ground, and you're working with a set number of people to gain this ground and basically overpower your opponent, your other.
There's also minions. And
yeah,
stuff
that's a good way to describe it too. Because it's not just like you fighting the one person.
You have to work as a team.
You're
with
fighting
Bobas.
Minions
and
to
you're
push
pushing
up.
The wave.
You push up and you destroy turrets, and then you push up again, and then until you finally get to the
next.
It's
like a siege game. Right, you're sieging their castle. Because
there's quite a few. I almost said Dotas. There's quite a few MOBAs, man.
There are
quite
two Dotas.
A few Dota games. Yeah. There's Smite. There's
I forgot about
there's
that.
Smite, Heroes of the Storm.
Isn't that
Paragon? Strife,
third person one.
And
Smite.
Yeah, Smite's the third.
Smite.
Smite's so weird.
Smite's cool because like it's
League is also a third person one.
I guess technically
it's top down. Smite. You play with like gods of like different religions and stuff.
I really like Smite.
I
should
have said over
like
the
if
shoulder.
Like if someone played with me, I definitely.
Mobile Legends, bang bang.
Sucks that I can never get into MOBAs.
Like, and once again, like, this isn't like something where, this is a very niche, like topic. Like, this is a huge fan base. Yeah. Like, selling out arenas all around the world. Paris, Las Vegas, like, they are literally competing and raising so much money.
All over the world.
All over the world.
There's sponsors. I mean,
Cloud. I know, like, there's
Paul,
certain teams as well.
Paul, give us an example of a prize pool for one of these things.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the top prize pool for Dota 2, which was $34.3 million.
Yeah, we're talking 34.
Split between five dudes.
I don't think it was the entire. I think that's the entire prize pool. So like. Depending on what place you get like a set amount
of
money.
That was all the money given out.
This isn't just going to freaking Cagney's and playing Mario Kart.
I was going
to
say, we're talking, even if it's not, you know, split just between those five dudes, that's still, you know, a handful of people getting $35 million for sitting down and just playing a game.
Playing games. And
that was for the one that they did this last year, which was their internet. Their Worlds. Like they had like their culmination of the whole entire season. It's called International for Dota 2.
The Intercontinental Champions of the World.
And the little I've seen of these things, it's been just this crazy.
I actually have a clip if you guys want to hear real quick.
Yeah, throw it on.
This may sound like gibberish to you guys, but you can also see how it's reminiscent of like going to a football game and
like traditional sports.
Traditional sports. Like these people have changed the definition of what an athlete is.
Except its viewers are indoors and warm.
Indoors, warm. And they don't have to be super buff, comfortable, making a lot of money playing video games. But here's just an example of, and I'm, I know you can't see it, but there's a lot of stuff happening on the screen.
Depth charge knocks a barrel. Baron is helping out IG, the defending world champions. Push that one out of the pit. And now they're on the Baron. Canyon has got Flash. He has got Smite. He has got Ultimate. 2,000 HP. There's the dash. Nuclear wants to turn around. Nuguri's pushing for the fight as well. The Prince of Metal Jackie Love. Down one gets the barrel. Nuguri goes down, but at what cost? Canyon continues the fight. Take a look at Showmaker. He's rejoined.
The music's really getting me there, though.
Okay.
It's the music.
What game is this?
League of Legends.
Okay.
So without looking at that, I know what's happening.
The music was getting me there.
I'm the exact opposite. I've I've played League of Legends a little bit. That was nonsensical gibberish to me.
I was gonna say, like, me, Paul, and probably Skylar as well. Like, we knew exactly what's like the when I first started playing, and I heard people talk about it. I'm like, what? This is, it's a different language.
It is a whole different language.
It's like, oh, Jungle Lee Sin's going to gank. Oh, the double. Oh, he's got smite. Oh,
like, so, it's insane. One of the names that they actually dropped in that Faker, he's like one of the most well-known.
He's the Tom Brady, basically. Yeah,
these people are
one of the most well-known mid laners, like in League of Legends, like in the esports scene. Like when people say, "Oh, he's like the next Faker," that's like such a big compliment to like another player.
Faker's basically Tom Brady.
Oh, definitely. Like,
or whoever your favorite player is.
and his net worth is $4 million.
Fakers?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Imagine like making all of your money. Like, oh, I'm so good at this video
game.
With
your brain and fingers.
Brain and fingers. Like, that's insane. Also, he was a programmer, too.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, like he is insane.
Does not surprise me
the
one bit.
The stuff I seen him do, I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. It's, in a sense, breaking the game. He's
big brain and everyone else is smooth brain.
But as you can hear, like, this is an insanely real, insanely popular, like.
Yeah, people were screaming for that.
So hype.
Like, holy moly. But anyways, do you have any more, something tells me you got more to say. Do you have, like, information on, like, the rules of Worlds and how, like, the tournaments are bracketed?
So, there's about, I think, 8 different leagues in the entire world for League of Legends, and the top 2 teams that finish in their season altogether, so they have 2 splits. There's one that's a spring split. And they have another one that's a summer split. And then they also, whoever wins has championship points that they earn, which help them qualify to get into Worlds. So the top 2 or 3 teams that have the highest championship points goes to the world stage. And then they have several different brackets at the world. So they have this one called play-in stage, which is teams that almost made it, but they have to kind of earn their spot.
I was going to say, like, you can't just, like, pick up the game and say, okay, I'm going to enter a tournament. Like, don't you have to be a certain level in the game?
Yeah, I think the pros, so League of Legends has a ranking system, and the pros that are in League have to be, I think, Diamond or higher, and Diamond is two ranks below the highest, which is Challenger. So most of the pros that are, like, the well-known ones, they usually hit Challenger, and they're always fighting for rank 1. I think there's about 200 spots in Challenger.
Also, out of, like, the, what, millions, billions of people playing this game.
So League actually has, like, its highest is, at daily peaks, it reaches about 8 million concurrent players.
And does that mean at the same time?
Yes.
Holy moly.
There's a lot of people.
Also, like, when you reach levels like Challenger 2, like, you literally have to be dedicated to the game, because if you go 24 hours without playing a game, you begin losing points and being demoted.
Wow.
Just by being AFK.
Once you're to that point, you better start making some moolah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people that are in Challenger actually stream on Twitch, and they, like,
right, that
some
is
of them
job.
Are, like, yeah, some of them are full-time streamers. So, like, people just give them money.
Realistically, and this is like a pro tip to everybody, if you're really good at something and you stream it, people will probably watch it.
I should stream Kendama. It's probably people
should
way better.
Kendama, though, dude.
What are you going to stream 8 hours a day?
Today I'm going to go for the string of 9 cups in a row.
I'm going to go around the world to the pump fake. So,
what was that thing Joker said? If you're good at something, never do it for free.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, we're trying here. But,
we live in a society, folks.
But yeah, like, these streamers are...
There's a whole new meaning to you.
These people are making money, like, not just from these tournaments, but from Twitch and streaming and Patreon. And if you guys don't, like, listeners at home...
Merchandising.
Like, if you guys don't
jerseys.
Know...
Jerseys.
I know.
And yeah, the jerseys. Like,
I wasn't kidding. The joke was...
there's so much money other than, like, winning tournaments.
My boy.
I didn't want to keep talking over you.
So it may seem like esports are just kind of like, oh, this is like no one's really like paying attention to it. But actually, there's a bunch of traditional sports teams that have invested into these esports teams. So one of them is Valencia Football Club. They've actually invested in Rocket League teams and Hearthstone teams.
Wow. Which are two other games that are highly competitive. Hearthstone, I think, is the same makers of League, right?
No, Hearthstone is Blizzard.
Blizzard, yeah. Okay. I was thinking of Overwatch.
The people that made
Rocket League.
Diablo. And then you guys are going to think this is real weird, but there's a team called 100 Thieves in League of Legends that have four owners. So one is Cleveland Cavaliers. One is Drake.
Like the Drake?
The Drake.
Like, may not mean nothing to y'all.
Yeah, that dude. Matthew Nadeshot Haig. He was an ex-Call of Duty pro. So he owns part of that. And then this other guy.
He's clearly
the
one that got all the band together. Yeah. Listen to me, Drake and Cleveland Browns.
You almost might know this other guy, Jose. His name is Scott Braun. He's a record exec of Schoolboy Records.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's like a little melting pot of people. So they own like teams?
They own like – they're all co-owners of 100 Thieves.
Is that like similar to like Cloud9 and
Cloud9 has like – I don't even know how many esports they're in. They have what? CSGO. I think they have Call of Duty and
– League, of course.
Rocket League, I think.
Rocket League. I was going to say, I've seen my friend play Rocket League before. Rocket League's basically like soccer, right?
It's soccer with cars.
Isn't
I love it.
Soccer
2v2?
With cars. 2v2.
3v3.
Oh, is it 3v3?
Because you always have two on the sides and then one straight down the middle at the start of every game.
Mm.
Well, every round. What?
Houston Rockets also owns Clutch Gaming, which did really well, so they're probably going to be sticking around.
Now, the Cavaliers and the Rockets, those are basketball teams, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I am very much not.
Got one more basketball team for you.
Uh-oh.
The Golden State Warriors own this team called Golden Guardians for League of Legends.
Wow. Man, so these very real sports teams are getting involved with esports. Like I said, like a new definition of the term
future
athlete.
Dude.
I would love to get paid to do something that I love. Sponsors, if you want this show, help me get paid. But we're here talking about competitive gaming, esports. We talked about GDQ. If you missed the speedrun stuff in the beginning, you can watch it with your ears.
On Spotify.
On Spotify, iTunes.
There's NPR app.
NPR app. NPR one.
One, don't forget that one.
Paul and, snipe your light, dude.
He did. Cut the lens
and did it wrong.
Also, type in Region Nerd Alert on Google. It'll point you on the right path to something that you have.
Go to the Google.com and then
go to the Google.
So my older listeners, go to Google.com, type in Region Nerd Alert. And I'm probably one of those things. Please keep listening. I didn't mean to offend you.
So you know how like a lot of the traditional sports have like people that bet on the games like through certain websites and stuff
like
that?
Like fantasy football type.
You mean bet.gg? I'm just kidding.
Well, there's like certain like websites and stuff that like you can place legitimate bets
on esports.
That was a big problem with CSGO.
Yeah,
Whole lot of betting and gambling.
Oh, that was that was with the skins.
The skins, yeah.
Yeah, that was with the skin because people are selling those skins for unfathomable amounts of money.
I played yesterday. They were in talks. Like seriously, oh, you got that skin, dude? Yeah, man. Like good op skin. Like, dude, I will literally PayPal you $50 right now.
I was like, let's talk.
And then I'm like, oh my gosh, they're not kidding.
I was about to say, I know about this because my favorite content creator, Jim Sterling, did like three videos on this whole thing. The guys that were running these gambling websites were like sponsoring themselves and not claiming that they own the gambling websites. So they were trafficking people to their site to bet and they would lose money or whatever, but they would just fill their pockets.
Well, CSGO is another rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was gonna say with all the cool stuff that comes with esports, you do get the bad stuff that comes with like traditional sports.
And
as
even
well.
League, I heard like there was some shiesty stuff going on in League.
Yeah, they had a whole sex. I don't know if it was a sex scandal. I think it was just they were paying lower wages to certain people, and there was a big walkout at one point.
Oh, Riot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just heard about that today, actually. I looked it up and saw that they had harassment problems and lawsuits and stuff against them. So.
Yeah, the gaming industry is not favorable to women, unfortunately, which is stupid.
Sort of like the
real world?
Real IRL sports.
Yeah.
Like cheerleaders or something happens with them. I don't know.
I was going to say, well, that's something we'll have to explore.
Don't see too many women shoutcasters on NFL.
That's very true. It's always old men with
that have been there for like 30, 40 years.
Thanks for the save, Paul.
I almost said something. Guys with the big tenure.
The big tenure.
They were actually talking about that in one of the league podcasts. They're like, you know, how do you like see yourself like right? So League of Legends has only been around 10 years now. So they're like,
really? It's only a decade?
Yeah,
I feel like
I've
been playing forever since I was in diapers.
Yay high.
Yay high.
Or as my coworker says, knee high to a duck.
Oh, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
But we've been talking about CSGO a lot. CSGO also has some giant tournaments. I believe that's PC only. Also, League is PC only.
Yeah. Super PC only.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. Like
PC Master Race.
I was gonna say the little bit that I actually played like online games, because I don't do that anymore. Just straight single player games because I'm a hermit. But when I actually was playing multiplayer, it was straight Call of Duty, Counter Strike. That's all I played was Counter Strike.
And Counter Strike is CS:GO, by the way.
Yeah, there was Counter Strike, and then there was something else.
Counter Strike Global Offensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't CS:GO also have like a lot of cheaters? Like it's like not very regulated.
Well, I'm not sure like in tournaments, but
like that you guys have seen.
Oh yeah, walls, like seeing through walls, ghosting.
And that's one of the problems too. Is like not all of the tournaments are held at like a huge event. So certain of the tournaments are held like just via online, and so people will get together in a house and the whole team will be in one room, but they're all playing at their one house and just an online tournament.
And that's ghosting, basically, which,
right,
like if you guys don't know, when the listeners, when you're playing these games, when you die, you have no communication to your team. Like you can't say word, like you can't give shout outs like, oh, they're here. Unlike, you know, other games like League, when you die, you can still communicate with your team. But it's called ghosting, like when you die and you're still giving information.
I think in the big tournaments, I think you can still communicate with your team.
Really?
Probably have like a third party talk like thing.
Or they might disable like worldview.
During like timeouts and stuff, you're not allowed to speak. Like if someone takes a timeout, like you can't discuss your game plan.
Right.
Like you have to like
sit
and wait for them.
Where like if they have like a pause or something.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it's not timeouts, but pauses. So if there's like a technical error,
they can't talk,
they're figuring it out, you can't talk.
They'll let you talk if it like goes past a certain time. So if it's like a pause that's been on for like 10 minutes, they'll like let players like
all right banter a little bit, banter a little bit,
or they'll talk about their like next game plan, or because in League they have these things called cooldowns. When you use a spell, you can't use it until like a certain amount of time has passed. So sometimes if it's been going on for a really long time for the pause, they're like, it's at this still, like, because you lose track of things like that when you've not played the game for 10 minutes.
And other than like these team-based games that we've been talking about, there's something called Evo as well, which is strictly fighting games held every summer in Las Vegas. And as the first official Evo happened in 2002, but it dates back to much smaller competitions in Japan. And since then, it has grown into a three-day event that features a growing list of games. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I'm reading off the script. The 2019 event will feature well, has featured Street Fighter, Arcade Tekken. Edition, Tekken, Smash Bros. Ultimate, Mortal Kombat, and many others.
I was going to say, Street Fighter seems to be like the big one of all of those.
Yeah, and
they stream that on TBS, man.
TBS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cable television.
Man, I wish that they streamed League of Legends on TV. ESPN is starting to show esports also.
I was going
to
say,
I think the problem is it's a lot easier to show like a common day person, like two video game characters fighting on a screen versus showing them a League of Legends
That's
screen.
That's true, too.
Comprehend this.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, again, I've played a little bit of League, and I am in the video game sphere, and I have no idea what's going on in League.
There's a lot of terminology. And I stopped playing for maybe like a year, and I come back, and there's still so much to learn. It's like getting your legal.
What does this person do?
It's like being a lawyer. You have to constantly
this item
learn.
Now?
Yeah, it's
yeah. Don't
so,
let that person so, touch you; they'll kill you.
And then reworks
so much, dude.
But it's a way to keep the game fresh so that it doesn't stagnate. So, like other games, like
football.
Yeah,
yeah. Try nerfing a football player, huh? IRL.
They did. They nerfed the hell out of football. They moved the kickoff.
Wait, what?
Now instead of the kickoff, like actually having a return, it's just a touchback every time.
I guess so. I know nothing of football.
That's why I stopped watching football.
They didn't buff it. They nerfed it.
Yeah, you don't come to Region Nerd Alert to hear about football.
They're like, too many people.
We don't know anything about it.
He's like, oh,
too many brain injuries.
Just getting slammed.
Those are serious things, and I don't mean
yeah, no, those are
them,
those but. Are those are real.
Oh yeah, concussions.
I still love to see a good kickoff.
Yeah. Lyme disease is real too.
Yeah,
that's a pretty terrible disease.
Sometimes contracted by ticks.
Ticks. Yeah, you got to check your head when you're going hiking.
Make sure you wear a hat in those fall seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Ticks
Lyme,
are abundant.
There's no cure for Lyme disease either.
Yeah, that stuff stays with you.
Lemon Lyme disease.
Oh my god! Anyway,
so we're talking about esports,
so, and some newer ones too. Fortnite has been huge. If you haven't heard about Fortnite, Paul has something.
You probably don't have kids if you haven't heard about Fortnite.
I actually, they were number two in the top 10 prize pool.
Really? Yeah. What was theirs?
So this last year, their World Cup was 30.4 million.
For Fortnite?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Didn't
I don't know what exactly like what style of game that they were playing for, if they were doing like a team deathmatch or
probably
if
duos.
Like, probably.
I think they usually do duos.
And if you don't know what Fortnite is, you probably seen it at Target, like Target memorabilia section, like my kids doing weird dances because of Fortnite or whatever.
This is flossing.
I was gonna say like League of Legends is a huge thing, but it's kind of hard for somebody to not have heard of Fortnite.
Right, because like it's so prominent and like everywhere you go, even if like you have no idea what Fortnite is, you've heard of Fortnite.
Yeah,
kids are getting bullied over it by not having skins.
It's a real thing. Like it's crazy how popular Fortnite is.
Yeah, and if you don't know what Fortnite is, if you've heard about it, it's basically a battle royale game. And battle royale is basically you drop in from like a helicopter or a plane. Or a bus, and you look for loot, like weapons, armor, and whatnot, and you last person standing. If you've seen Hunger Games, it's basically that.
It's you versus 99 people.
Yeah, 99.
It's 100 people.
100 people per game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it gets pretty crazy, pretty competitive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Fortnite blew it out of the water, but there was the one. What was the other
PUBG.
One?
PUBG.
Yeah.
PUBG. That was one
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
That was, like, one of the first big... Well, the ones that got it onto the
scene, because Fortnite just blew it out of the water.
Yeah,
with their
before
style
that,
and everything.
Even before that, there was
H1Z1.
There you go,
H1Z1. Oh, I do not like that game.
That one plays like poo.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Big
poo.
There's another ones. Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Overwatch was one that I'm pretty sure we all had a lot of experience with at one point.
The thing about Overwatch that I'm not a big fan of, at least at the tournament level, and that I don't like watching, is that it's like clumped together and then fight two things. Yeah. And it's not – I like more of like the spread out, like, oh, one person can like make moves. Like if you're a Widowmaker by yourself against like two tanks and a healer, like you're never
– Oh, yeah, you're getting decimated.
Right, which I like about like stuff like CSGO or even League. Like obviously League, like you can – still be,
but you're usually
overrun.
Fighting against your like counterpart,
right?
See, that's I well, I'm better at first person shooters, mm-hmm. so that's why I like League or not League. That's why I like Overwatch, because Overwatch has like the League. Overwatch has like the League like team thing where like each person brings their own like thing to the table. Mm-hmm. Like me, I play the tanks, which are like the big giant health bars that basically are just there to soak up the damage.
Right.
I'm the shield of the group. Mm-hmm. And please, for the love of God, if you play Overwatch, stay behind Reinhardt's shield. Please. That infuriates me. Anyways.
That comment's kind of dated now that we have, like, Orisa and there's Siegfried.
How many shields? At least
there's
three?
So many. Oh, I've seen some just dirty photos of, like, Reinhardt and then Siegfried shield, Orisa shield, and a Bastion shooting through all of them.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
no.
Like,
in general, stay behind the shield, please.
Stay behind shield.
Please. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. It just kind of goes off like...
Have you played Apex at all yet?
Yeah.
I know that these two love it.
Yeah, we
Mike
actually...
Mike played like four or five games, and I think we won like two of them, and then you stopped playing.
Man,
you're good at it, man.
I'm good at first-person shooters. I don't
and
like...
you were winning.
You got to get on and play with us.
Bro, we need a third.
I think I'm just bad because I stopped playing a bunch of third-person FPS games.
Mm. Well, I'm good at them because that's where I started. Like, again, Counter-Strike, Halo. I cannot tell you how many times I have destroyed Counter-Strike matches because I'm good at them. I can't do multiplayer anymore, man.
Bro, we need to
do it.
Let's play Smash tonight.
Don't need your team flaming you.
Huh?
Don't need your team flaming you.
No.
But with that, we are actually out of time. That just went by so fast. Should we postpone this to a part two, like the Disney episode?
maybe we'll give you one.
There will be a part two when something big happens with Disney. Just letting you know. Sponsor.
Can we just make part two, like,
right
straight
now?
Mandalorian?
Let's do it. Let's talk about,
it's finished.
This is for... outside of this
another
podcast.
Time.
Another time. We will definitely talk about it. That's something for you guys to look forward to. And
mail in. What do you want to hear?
Yeah, mail in. Call in. 219-769-9577.
Send a telegram.
Is that your personal
usually
phone number?
Wednesday night about 7:30.
Yeah. <call in. laughs> Yeah, I'm usually here during the week, not the weekend.
Send a telegram. An owl. Smoke signal. Get a hold
pigeon.
Of us.
Owl.
Pigeon.
Any of the above. But anyways... thank you guys for joining me. Got Mr. Mike, Singularity, Facebook.
Singularity Photography.
Olfo
Von Allier on all my social media.
Skyler. And the big man, Paul Polgorzelski.
Mr. His Own Mike.
His Own Mike.
Mr. His Own Chair.
Mike 1, 2, 3 to the 4, 6. But anyways.
Oh, every time I hear 2, 4, 6 at work, I think of you.
Oh, thank you. That was sequence of numbers.
Just that sequence.
The sequence of numbers.
So I do have one thing to plug.
Plug it up.
So if anyone wants to like check out League of Legends, the season is starting for the new players.
Boom.
So the NALCS starts January 25th, this Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Time.
You mean today?
You hear that right?
If you're listening and this is the new episode of Saturday at 7 p.m.?
Yep.
There you go. So if you're interested and you want to see what the heck we're talking about, go to google.com, type in LCS, League of Legends, whatever, and watch some games.
Faker highlights.
Oh, I don't know what time the Korean cast start. Probably like 3 a.m.
And if you're confused about any of the League of Legends stuff, don't worry. I'll be right there with you. I don't know what's going on.
Contact us and we'll give you the 411.
Contact Mike at Singularity Photography and talk about your confusion together.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just be like, I don't know what a gank is. I barely know what a jungle is.
But with that, thank you all for nerding out with us. Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And that's the music. We're out. See you guys.
Bye.